Welcome to this message by Pascal Nguyen. Pastor Pascal is a seasoned minister of the Word of God, whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of ministry are a great inspiration to many lives. He's the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. You will experience the transformational power of God's Word as He ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Introduction to Discipleship, part 3. We are on it again this morning. I am not surprised at how Satan has begun to attack us. I'm not surprised, because this is one major thing he doesn't expect churches to be interested in. The main thing that the builder of the church was interested in, it is the thing that the churches are not interested in. And we have now come by the Spirit of God and by the leading of the Holy Ghost, and we are now saying that this is what we want to do this year, or from this year going forward. So I don't think he's very happy, because he saw what happened 2,000 years ago when a guy came here and started putting such things together. It didn't turn well for him. So now he has decided that, look, he's going to take us on. And I believe that, because he told Peter, I shall build. And the next thing is the gates of hell. So you see that as soon as you start building people, wanting to do the right thing, the enemy rises up. But the good news is those gates shall not prevail. We will come out victorious. You shall come out victorious. In the name of, I just want to encourage you, don't be surprised if things start getting agitated at home, in your finances, here and there and there. It's an agitation by evil spirits to distract you, to get you off course. That's all that is going on. Satan is hoping that you might decease in this endeavor. I'm experiencing it every day. And I can tell you, you'll even be, the attacks will come even in the areas of temptations. You will be tempted, like a lot of things, so that your mind is kept busy and you can't really focus on this work. So I want to see you determined that you are saying, you know what? Come what may, this year, I'm making disciples this year. I'm making real. Same time, you will see real people being built, and they will face you. They will face you proper this year, by the grace of God. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples. Why are you against us? We didn't say this. This is something that our master has instructed us to do. Why are people agitated about this? It's like as if we are the one that came. He said, go and do this. And he says, so if we do, he will be with us. I want him to be with me. So we are on this. Listen to me. No one is self-made. I want you to do a little thing for me. Look around. And many of you know, have my number. Send me a WhatsApp of anyone you know, that is self-made. Send me their number or their name, and let's Google them together. No one is self-made. No one. Including that person you are saying, Pastor, but it's just because you don't know this one. Let's talk about that one that you are saying, I don't know. Let me start. Number one, did they conceive themselves? Let's start there. You are saying that you are self-made. So let's start. Did they conceive themselves? Then, did they carry themselves for 9 months by themselves? Okay, did they deliver themselves? And after delivering themselves, they carried themselves to a house. And they started feeding themselves. We can't even go further. I mean, just there. In fact, the first point already were finished. No one is self-made. The same way for you to appear here, It is the work of people, whether you are aware of it or not. That is also how to become anything. To become anything in this life, you will need to be made. You will need somebody to make you into that thing. The same way somebody made you a human being. You couldn't make yourself into a human being. Somebody had to make you into. Two people actually came together before you became a human being. It's from your very conception, you could not do anything by yourself. I do not know why somewhere along the way, some funny ideas come to us and we start feeling, no, I think I can do it by myself. I can do it on my own. DIY. Read yourself. Mark 1:17. Follow me and I will make you. You don't make yourself into anything. You are made. Now, to disciple a person is basically to make them. You are making something that you say, go and make disciples. When you start discipling a person, you are basically making them. That thing you are making doesn't exist. That's why disciples are not found. They are made. They are not found. They are not found. If you find one, he was made by somebody. Nobody is born a disciple. They are made. And the process of making a disciple or making disciples is what I'm teaching this month in this introduction to discipleship. And I started by telling you last week that it is the process of building up a person. That's how you are making them. You make them by building up certain things in them. And if you do that job consistently, because you see, we need to understand this assignment. Jesus is telling us to go and make disciples. I believe one of the reasons why this job is not being done is because a lot of people don't know how to do it. It is really not that some are just disobedient. There are some. But I promise you, you find out that a lot of us don't actually know how to do this thing that Jesus is telling us to do. That's quite dangerous because this is the main job he gave us to do and we don't know how to do it. So excuse me if I'm taking my time on this. I just want us to understand it well so that we can do this job properly and we can bring glory to God with our lives. That we will not waste our time here on earth and appear before God. You know, I want to tell you, I believe with all my heart, if Jesus asks us to make disciples, I believe the first question he will ask you when he sees you in heaven is, where are the disciples? Because that's what I asked you to do. And I believe well done, good and faithful servant will be based on making disciples. Not anything else. Because this is the assignment. So you will only be a good servant and you will be a servant that did well if you've made a lot of disciples. This is what it's all about. So to disciple a person is to build them up so much so that they become made into something they were not when you started with them. The book of Romans 15, verse 1 to 2, the Bible says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. Say with me, discipleship. And not to please ourselves. Say with me, self-righteousness. And Christianity. This is the two legs here in front of you. You can be strong and please yourself. Boast about it. How your tongues are great. How your ministry is powerful. How you are always on point. And you can be strong and use your strength to help those who are weak. That is what we call discipleship. The Bible says, we who are strong. We who are strong. Brother, I thank God you are strong. But who is benefiting from your strength? Sister, I'm grateful to God that you are strong spiritually. But who is benefiting from it? Are you not using it to please yourself? That is what a lot of us do. We use that strength to break. We use that strength to intimidate. We use that strength to even manipulate and control other people. But that is not the purpose of the spiritual strength God has given you. God makes us strong. The main purpose is so that we can help the weak. The weak. We can hold them and help them to also become strong. Will you agree that when Jesus met Peter, Peter was weak? Peter even told him, depart from me, I am a sinner. The person you are dealing with here, and I'm not a very good person. I don't think you understand who you are dealing with. And Jesus said, no, relax. Look, by the time I'm done with you, you're going to become a fisher of men. You're going to influence people. So Jesus, who was strong, turned Peter, who was weak, into a strong person. Say with me, discipleship. Now, I don't respect your spiritual strength if all it does, thank you, Jesus. We have to help those who are weak. And you see, that's the problem we are having in the churches. The problem we are having is that the strong go with the strong. They hook up among themselves. And the weak are left to themselves. And the church is not getting stronger because the strong make fun of the weak. And the weak also, they show disregard to the strong. So you think you are better. I want to read it again to you. Understand what discipleship is. We who are strong, not should, ought, another way to say must. We must. We must. Discipleship is not optional. We ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Each of us, verse 2, each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. I'm reading the Bible. To build them up. To build them up. That's what I started to you last week. It said, each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. So the strong must build up the weak. Otherwise, he has misunderstood the purpose of the strength God gave him. And I see in the church today, the strong wants to get stronger so that they can be respected and honored. So they are pleasing themselves. I'm talking to a lot of you this morning. You didn't enter into this thing to please your neighbor. You are trying to be strong to please yourself, to fight the demons in your life, to draw money, to become powerful, to drive the car you want to drive, to live in the house you want to live. Everything is to please yourself. So we keep saying, Lord, bless me more. Lord, give me more. Lord, empower me more. We want to be stronger to please ourselves. But the Lord is saying, let those who are strong. He says, we who are strong, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. And I tell you, if we were applying Romans 12, the church would have become stronger by now. Because there are so many weaklings around you. There are so many, you can pray, there are so many people who cannot pray. But you have never seen that it was your responsibility. Maybe it was your responsibility to take a few of them and to start discipling them in prayer. You've never seen that. You've never felt that it is also maybe it could. You think it's the responsibility of the pastor. You are here to be fed. You are here to get more. No. Discipleship is for all of us. And I started showing you last week that there are three main areas where you can build up this week. The first one is what? character. The second one, courage. The third one, community. We saw last week that Jesus built up the character of Peter. Oh, you don't think so? I mean, Jesus didn't take Peter to the gym or take Peter to a store, Markham's. Eh? Jesus took Peter to Markham's to buy him some boxer shorts or to buy him some. No. Jesus took Peter to the Spirit. The whole time Jesus is with Peter, in fact, Peter felt concerned because there was a time Peter realized, I know, this thing, where is this thing going actually? Because I haven't seen any transaction since I started this. So I said, look, I left my father, I left my mother, I left everything to follow you. What's going on? But Peter was concerned because he had not seen ever since he started this thing. Maybe when Jesus says to him, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, he thought it meant something else. Being the businessman that he was. So he quickly left this and said, no, I'm even not winning with this thing. Every night I work for free. So this man is offering something better, so let's follow him. So I'm thinking the whole time, Peter had in mind, some money will come someday. And then he says the thing is going, the money is not coming, and Jesus is rather saying he's dying. And when he tried to say to Jesus, you can't die because we have a deal. Jesus is rather rebuking him and calling him the devil. So he said, you know what? No. I think I'm concerned. I want to understand where are we going? Yeah, so people are thinking it. They are not saying it. I'm going to say it. Jesus, I left my boat. I left my net. I left my wife to follow you. What's going to happen? Talk to me. Let's have a little talk. What if, do you think if Jesus was busy giving Peter a new boat, new net, Peter was going to be asking such questions? No. The man saw that right now he's busy collecting leftovers, so after people have eaten. Those are the things that he's now busy with. After he has left his little business. So his life has changed. And he doesn't understand. 1 minute, there's not say, come, let's pray. The whole night he has to pray. And he's falling asleep because Peter, why are you sleeping? Wake up. So he doesn't understand what's going on here. Jesus is building the character of Peter. That's what he is doing. And I want to tell you something. Until you become intentional, you will waste a lot of time with people. You will waste a lot of time, and their pressure will even make you to start taking them to McDonald's. Not that I have a problem with you taking them there, but you should know why you are taking them there. The pressure they're going to bring on you will make them to buy them this, buy them that, give them money, give them airtime, as if that is why you are there. As if that is why you are there. Jesus did not bow to the pressure of Peter, the pressure of John, even the pressure of Luke, who was a doctor with clients. He didn't bow to their pressure. He said, look, I'm here to build spirit in you, capacity, character in you. And I'm going to focus on that. And you will realize later that I was right. That is the first thing we needed to build before these other things start coming up. Character. I know you'll be quickly tempted to solve the physical problems. You'll be tempted to quickly adjust their lives and to do everything you can do, but you are making a mistake. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus started with the person inside. The person that these people are when he's not around. And how they struggle. How they are unable to stay in their stand. Their convictions, they can't stand on their convictions. As soon as there's a little heat, they go ballistic. Even after Jesus has done all that work on Peter, do you believe that Peter said to a small girl that, I don't even think she was at the crash. By the time he's having this conversation with her, maybe she was doing grade R or grade RR. The little girl took Peter on, and Peter ballistically, and more than three times, or at least three times, say, I don't know, I've never met that man in my life. The man who healed his mother-in-law. The man who sent him to go get money to pay the taxes. I've never, I don't know this man. I've never met him before in my life. So you see that the character, even though Jesus was building it, there was still a lot of work to be done. Still a lot of work to be done. Nothing reveals your character better than your behavior. No matter how you think about yourself or what you think about yourself, I'm telling you another, nothing reveals your character better than your daily behavior. Stop your imaginations. Let's stop imagining who we think we are. Let's stop assuming who we think we are and all these deceptions. But let's face our daily behavior, because that's the best representation of our character. I want to read something small here for you. That the same Peter, you see, because Peter, Jesus worked on him so well, he was able to make disciples. He was able to tell people what to do. And last week, I showed you a lot of things Peter told people that he should do. The word, prayer, and what else? The truth. Here he's talking to wives. And listen to what he's telling them. Wives, in the same way, submit yourself to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. The behavior. They see, he was saying that you can get things done just by having the right character. If your character is right, you will start winning. So these are wives that are unable to win their husbands. But he says, don't even speak much, which is what women are very good in doing. I mean, he said, this, you are not doing this. But he said, don't do that. This man can be won without you speaking. But you're going to need to work from another angle. Your character. Your behavior. What is true for wives can be true for husbands, for children, for church members, for everybody. Peter is talking to all of us. But the emphasis is made on the women. And he says, when they see the purity and the reverence of your lives. That's character he's talking about. Like when they get to see what you really are, who you really are, they will be won. He says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborated hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Meaning, character is deeper than these things. Character is deeper than your outward appearance. When we say that, build the character of the people, we are saying, work on something that is not obvious to the naked eye. Not to say that the outward appearance is not important, but I tell you, many a times, what you see is not what you get. It's not what you get. But what you get is what you need. Now, that thing you're getting is not what you thought you were going to get. That's where the problem comes from. Rather, it should be that of your inner self. Say with me, inner self. Inner self. That's character we are talking about. Inner self. When you are building the character of your disciples, you are dealing with their what? Inner self. Not the out self, the inner self. Not the out self, the inner self. He says you should, this should be your inner self. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. The inner self is unfading. Whatever you do for somebody inside, it will be permanent. Outside, they will, clothes change all the time. Clothes fade. You have to throw them away. But if you can build somebody, if you can make them wear clothes inside, if you can make them cut their hair inside, if you can make them look nice inside, the Bible says that beauty inside is unfading. Then the Bible says that it is gentle and quiet. It doesn't make a lot of noise. It's a thing that outside make a lot of noise. But what is inside is gentle and quiet. But the Bible says it is of great value in God's sight. Bottom line, It is only when you start building character in people that God starts seeing you are doing something. Because that's the only time that the thing has value to him. When you start working on people, on the inside, a true disciple must have a strong and godly character. Strong and godly character. And I pray for you and myself that we will not just have nice looking bodies, nice hairs, but will have a strong and godly character. And can I tell you something this morning? I know last week I told you that your character can change through the word of God. It is true. Your character can change through the truth. It is true. And your character can change through prayer. It is very true. But I want to submit to you. You see, you know why you need to pray? We need to pray because even after you know everything you know, you can still decide to not obey it. You need to pray for your disciples because just because you use the word on them doesn't mean they will necessarily come. There is a desire, there's a need to pray. We need to pray for them. Prayer is needed. The power of God must be activated for you to start seeing the results you want to see. Otherwise, you'll be surprised that with all that knowledge, all the things you've heard, all the things you've read, when the temptation time comes, you forget all of them and you just go and flow like that. That's why prayer is of great necessity. But this morning, precious people, let me give you a tool that is even more powerful than all the three I gave you last week. To build your character. I don't think there's anything that builds the character of a person better than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is the changing of character. Like he's the unchanging changer. He is the one that can really convict, that can really break the will of an iron, the iron will man. Oh, you work very hard to try to make your disciples to do this, to go here, to become this, without the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, you'll waste a lot of time. Jesus worked for 3 years, but Peter still said, I don't know the guy. As soon as the Holy Ghost came on Peter, the man who was telling to a guy, he doesn't know the Jesus, he now talking to 3,000 people about Jesus. Never try to change people with your power. You kill yourself. Only one can do that, the Holy Spirit. So after you've taught them the word, after you've shared the truth with them, you've confronted errors in their life, after you've taught them how to pray, place them in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Pray for them in the Spirit that the Holy Ghost should influence them. The Holy Ghost will do a better work than you and I. If you can just believe it, that the Holy Ghost is the master changer. 1 Samuel 10:6. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. You will not remain the same liar, the same schemer, whatever your disciple. You don't know human beings. You think you can control people. You don't know human beings. The more you try to bring ways to control them is the way they invent ways to control you. In fact, the day you bring the radar is the day they discover a way to bypass the radar. Like, the day you bring that radar, that's the day that all along they had not thought of it. But now that you have brought the radar to control them, that's the day they now come with anti-radar for you. If you like, try to control your wife, try to control your husband, try to control your children, try to control your disciples, try to control the members. You kill yourself. do your part, place them in the hands of the unchanging changer. The Holy Spirit, he can change them. Oh, he changed Peter. He turned Peter around. Even people were surprised. I mean, what this guy, what's going on with this guy? Something has changed about Peter. Not anymore because of the teachings of Jesus. There was now power. There was power in him. A power that he couldn't resist. He couldn't resist it. Yeah. That's why every true disciple maker is a praying person. And he's also somebody who honors and respects the Holy Spirit. If you listen to the words of Jesus in the book of John from 14 to 16, those three chapters it's only talking about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you alone. You see, when I go like that, when you leave their house, tell them I'm going to my house now, but I'm not leaving you alone. It is advantageous for you that I go to my house. Because if I don't go to my house, the Holy Spirit will not come. But as I'm leaving you now, I'm not leaving you alone. You are not alone. I promise you, another one is coming. Another of the same kind than the one that was here now. He is coming to your house. I'm going, but he's here. Oh! And they say, who? I say, you just relax. He's around. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's continue quickly this morning. Today's message, how to build courage in your disciples. How to build courage. Last week, we saw how to build character. This week, how to build courage. Acts 4 verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter. You see that Peter? They didn't expect any courage from Peter because of his previous activities. But now they are seeing courage in Peter and John. John who doesn't talk. John is a guy of love. You understand? John is into love. He just talk about love. Let's love one another. Love is from God. God is love. That's John for you. John is a quiet guy who is just into love. But now they are seeing a guy, number one, this one, he's not much, we're never sure about him, but he's not courageous. Then this one that is always quiet, talking about love and peace, he's also not courageous. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that these guys were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished. But then they took note where the courage is coming from. These guys, these men had been with Jesus. What that means is that courage, that boldness that they could see was coming from, it was the result of the interaction of these two men with Jesus Christ. So as a result of them spending time with Jesus, as a result of them going around with Jesus, listening to Jesus, obeying Jesus, what built up in them was courage. And the people that are seeing this courage are the teachers of the law. Like, they were not expecting to see this type of thing. So these guys were doing things that were not expected of them based on their background, unschooled and ordinary. Discipling people involves helping them become courageous, bold, fearless. I'm teaching you the job. This is the job. Don't get involved in unnecessary things. First is character, dealing with the sin in your people, helping them with their emotions. Helping them with all the deficiencies in their inner self. Then moving it to starting to getting them to action. But then you see, when you start trying to get them to action, you quickly notice that they're having a problem. There's a problem. So Jesus didn't tell them, I'm teaching you courage. He was just teaching them, doing things with them. But by the time he was done, this guy was, they were courageous. Courage is the strength to do something you are afraid of. The strength to do something you know you should do it, but you are afraid of it. If you're still doing it, even though you are afraid of it, we call that courage. We say you are courageous when you are afraid of something and you are still doing it. Therefore, courage is never the absence of fear. It is the mastery of fear. Like, there is fear, but I'm mastering this fear and I'm still doing what I'm supposed to do, even if I'm afraid. Even if I'm afraid. That's courage. I sense fear in me. Everything in me wants to run away. But I'm facing this thing. I know this thing must be done. This thing has to be done. And I will not bow to the fear I feel inside. I will rather bow to the purpose I sense in my mind that this thing must be done. That's courage. That's what we call courage. That's what we call boldness. When we say you are bold, it means you are afraid, but you don't allow the fear to stand on your way. So when we say that you are building courage in your disciples, you are teaching them to stop running away. You are teaching them to face issues. Many don't run physically, but they run spiritually, internally, emotionally. They run away. They pull out of the thing. There's no courage to face it. There's no strength within to confront it. So they avoid it. They bypass it. They hide it. There's no courage. A disciple must deal with fear. A disciple must know, number one, how to deal with sin. That's character. Then the next thing that a disciple must know how to deal with is fear. It's interesting. You can be with people all your life. You never think that you should teach them this or you should build them like this. But that's why they don't get the results. First of all, you are not taking the time to work on the inner self. Then you are not taking the time strategically to teach them to face things. Fear is not from God. So wherever you are seeing fear, God didn't place it there. Now, who placed it there? Whenever you are seeing fear, whenever you are sensing fear in your life, just know that's not God. You are now in another operation. Like, God is not there. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of some. Receive the spirit of power. Receive the spirit of love. Receive the spirit of a sound mind in the name of Jesus. May fear leave you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear causes us to malfunction and to underperform. Those are the two main things you must understand. As you are trying to raise disciples, you must know that number one, fear causes people to malfunction and to underperform. Let's look at man without fear. Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful. This is man without fear. When a man is without fear, he is fruitful. There are results. When there is no fear, you are very fruitful. Hey, you can do a lot of things. And I want you to look at people that are fearless. They are very fruitful. Hey, they have results. Left, right, and center. Number two, fearless people multiply. They are not afraid to go to new areas. They are not afraid to expand. It is fear that causes people to stay in one place with small things. It is fear. A fearless person will be fruitful, and a fearless person will multiply. Therefore, a fearful person will not be fruitful. He will be barren. A fearful person will be alone. Let's continue seeing a life without fear. Fill the church. Fill the cell. Fill. Everything you do is full. You fill things when you are not afraid. When you are not afraid, things become full. things start filling up. Whenever you are seeing emptiness, there is a lot of fear in the church. There's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of insecurity. There's a lot of problem. That's why things are not full. Fill! A fearless person, he subdues things. It means things don't control him. He controls them. He decides. He determines the weather. My God. He subdues things. That's a fearless person. He says, have dominion. You are in charge. A fearless person is in charge. A fearful person is under charge. A fearful person is under. A fearless person is in charge. He says, have dominion. This is the perfect will of God for every human being you are coming across. Every person that you know, this is the perfect will of God for their lives. This is why God created man. Number one, to be fruitful. Number two, to multiply. Number three, to fill things. Number four, to dominate, to subdue. And number five, to have dominion. This is why God created people. This purpose has never changed. It was altered. Jesus came to restore it. It has never changed. So I don't know what you are working on, people. If the ultimate purpose is not for them to become fruitful, for them to multiply, for them to become a bit more. That's the purpose. But I want to show you how this purpose was altered. This is Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Now, Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, but the Lord called the man that he has asked to be fruitful, the man he has asked to multiply, the man he asked to fill the earth, the man he asked to subdue. The Bible says, the Lord God called the man, where are you? You are not on duty. I can't find you. He answered, the man answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid myself. Malfunctioning. I mean, you think about it. A person that is supposed to dominate is not hiding. What is that called? It's a malfunctioning. You are no more functioning well. And he said, I was afraid, so I hid myself. So whenever there is fear, people start malfunctioning. So you're going to come across people that are actually malfunctioning. Like what you are seeing is not what God created. What you are coming across, the person you are talking to every day, the person you are interacting with after church is malfunctioning, is not operating at the fullness of what God created. And the reason for that is there's fear in the heart. Where there is fear, people hide. They malfunction. They hide a lot of things that they can do. They had a lot of things that they can be, but they can't be anymore because there's fear. When there is fear, people underperform. Matthew 25:25. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. I was afraid. Every time people are afraid, they hide. They hide themselves or they hide things. He said, I was afraid, and I hid your gold. Talking of the guy that was given one talent and he returned the same talent. He speak the truth. I was afraid. So I underperformed. If you don't deal with fear in the hearts of your disciples, you will have people that will be malfunctioning and underperforming all your life. They will never be able to become all that God wants them to become. Or to do all that God wants them to do. They will keep malfunctioning and underperforming. And the cause is the fear in the heart. There's fear. So discipling people involves helping them overcome their fears, their low self-esteem, their self-doubts, their insecurities, their lack of confidence, and their personal and inner struggles. Like, you should learn how to do that. You should learn how to dig in them and pull out the insecurity, and pull out the fear, and pull out the low self-esteem, and pull out the lack of confidence. They are all inside. They are all inside. I hope you remember Proverbs 28 verse 1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. So when you are righteous, what has happened? This is a true disciple. Righteousness means character. It's who you are inside. We don't see righteousness on you. So righteousness is the building of the character. After the character is built, the next thing that must happen to the righteous is that he must become bold. Fear must leave him. So you can be righteous and fearful. You can be very, very God-loving, very, very God-fearing, very, very God-adoring, but there's fear in you. So you can't perform and you can't be all that God wants you to be. You are breaking that thing in the name of Jesus Christ. The main thing every disciple must have, if you're going to be a true disciple, you must focus on these things. Character. You must work on your character. That who you are when we are not there must not be too different from who you are when we are there. Then you must work on the boldness, the courage, the courage, the courage. These are the real issues. This is how a real disciple is made. A lot of righteous people are sitting in the congregation. Let's go. Yes, Pastor. How about we fix the church more? Isn't it we are going to bring people? Let's fix more. Pastor, let's make sure the chairs are in order. The worship team is powerful. Let's make sure that the lights are working. Pastor, let's go. But before we go, let's work. Let's stay first. Righteous and insecure, righteous and afraid, righteous and with low self-esteem, righteous and with low self-confidence, though righteous. But this is the ultimate, the lion, he is both righteous and bold. Then you become a lion, and you become a lion. You can take on buffaloes. You can take on giraffes. You can even take on elephants. I love what Bishop Oyedepo said. He said, it takes a lion's heart to get a lion's share. You can't eat what the lion is eating if you don't have the heart of a lion. The lion doesn't eat what he is eating because he's strong. It's because he has a strong heart. The heart is strong. So he tackles things that are sometimes 5 to 7 times his size. He tackles them. No wonder Jesus came and said, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The only advice God had for Joshua, the disciple of Moses, only one advice, Joshua 1, 6 to 7, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. That's the only advice I can give you. If you can be courageous, you will do this job. Joshua is the disciple of Moses, and all Joshua is hearing, be courageous. Learn to do things even when you are afraid. Learn to face challenges even when you don't feel like. Learn to do that. It takes a lot of boldness to stand up for Christ in your family. You see your disciples. The reason they are not strong, because it takes strength to go home and say, I'm not born again. It's not simple, because some of the guys, you see, when they are with you in church, you think that's how it is at home. At home is different. At home, nobody knows Jesus. At home, nobody prays. At home, nobody reads the Bible. So it's not going to require courage to go there and say, nah, I'm a believer now. And here you are. You are not building courage in the person. That's why as soon as he gets there, he gets malaxed and he gets, by the time he wakes up, he has drank blood of chicken. They have bathed him in some water. It takes boldness to go out and preach the gospel. That's why we are stuck in our chair with glue, super glue in there. in the buttocks. We don't want to move. Because it takes courage. It takes courage. It doesn't take, you know, you are saying, no, I don't know what to say. When you started dating women, did you know what to say? Did you somebody took you to a school and taught you what to say? No, you had courage, and courage pushed you to go and do it. It's courage. It takes courage to abandon your old friends. You see, if you don't teach them, they will never be able to say to the old friend, you know what, I can't continue with you. It takes courage to do that. It takes courage to let go of your former lifestyle. Your disciple will not be able to let of his former lifestyle if you don't train him to be courageous, to face a new life that he doesn't know how it's going to end. It takes courage to do that. It takes courage. It takes courage to be the only Christian in your family. And some of your disciples will be the only Christian in their family. Don't you think they're going to need a lot of courage, a lot of boldness to be able to face all these angry lions? And if you fail to teach them courage, they can easily go down. It takes courage. It takes courage to refuse to do ancestral rites, worship, to do the ancestral rituals. It takes a lot of boldness to speak up to your ex and say, I can't continue with you. It takes courage to do that. So don't just tell them to, don't just show them the scriptures. Build courage in them, so that they know that what they are doing is right. And that it's not easy to do it. They will be afraid while they are doing it, but they should still do it. That's what it is. As I close, 7 ways to build courage in your disciples.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Number one.
Yes.
Love your disciples. You will never see the connection between love and fear, but it's there. Most people that are afraid don't know love. It's a lack of love that makes us malfunction. As soon as Satan told Adam, you know, ooh, what you've just done, there's a problem. God is no more happy. Fear entered. Fear entered. 1 John 4:18 to 19. There is no fear in love. I wish I could write that in bold letters in your heart. There is no fear in love. Wherever you are seeing fear prevailing, somebody is not being loved. Or they are not receiving the love. Something is going on. And it has got to do with love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. That's the greatest deliverance service, without saying a word. Instead of casting the demons of fear with your own shouting, you use love, and love will cast out the fear without you speaking. Like demons of fear will be running away without you saying a word, just by engaging perfect love with your disciples. What is perfect love? Love that doesn't expect something before it gives itself. It's a love that is not putting a demand before it can also offer. It's a love that loves you perfectly, just the way you are. It accepts you. It accepts you. And you feel accepted. Once your disciple feels accepted around you, that they don't feel that urge to perform. They feel that you have accepted them. They are beginning to feel your love. And that's how their freedom from fear starts. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. People start loving you when you love them first. And I want you to know that if your disciples don't love you, you're not going to do well with them. Because most of the things that you want them to do, the only motivation, are you paying them? The only reason why they're going to do things is because they love you. That's the only reason. Because you're not paying them. You're not doing anything. So the main thing that is causing them to do things is love. They love you. Now, the Bible is saying that before they love you, you must first love them. When you send somebody to go and plant a cell and the cell is not working, the person doesn't love you. And he's saying that you will take the glory for this thing and he doesn't feel that you should be taking that glory. So he doesn't love you. So he will not make the cell work. The cell will suffer because he doesn't love you. If he really loves you, he will fight for the thing to work. He's got a lot of fears in his heart. He feels that you will take advantage. You will be praised more than him. You will rise and he will remain at the bottom. It's a lot of fears. That's why they're doing that. You have to love him first before he can love you. How do you establish that love? You do what Jesus did, Mark 3, 14 and 15. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him. Oh, that's the key. People must be with you. Your disciples must not feel tense around you. It must be nice to be around you. When your people can be around you and tense, then they are becoming true disciples. But if there's always an agitation, they're having rashes all the time. They feel the need to say something so that you can be happy. They are afraid. They are afraid. So that they can be with you. So that they might be with him. You see some leaders, you never see their disciples. Always alone. Always alone. Why? How will that fear leave them? Because they don't know how to be with you. They are not used to being with you. How can they work with you? Mercy. They cannot, like, every time they're in your presence, it's something new. So they are always afraid. It takes time to kill that fear. So Jesus made sure these people were with him constantly. Constantly. And by being with him constantly, they got to hear, they got to feel, they got to see. And as they are seeing you, as they are seeing the master operate, a lot of fear is coming out. How many times you are sending people without them being with you first? And that is a recipe to a disaster because they haven't seen you do it, so they don't have the confidence to do it. I think I'm talking to myself. I tell you, they must be with you. That's the first thing. Jesus chose 12 to first be with him. That's the first job. Just be around me. As you are around me, you're going to feel love. Because you're not yet performing. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And yet Jesus hasn't done one miracle. But they are just having a good time of fellowship. So in that time of fellowship, Jesus is feeling the love of his Father. Number two, believe in your disciples. Believe in them. Believe in them. Believe they can do it. And say it to them. You see, when you believe in people, they can feel you believe in them. And when you are having doubt, they also can sense that you are saying it, but you don't really believe I can do it. So you need to trust God to empower you to believe in the disciples. Because it is only when you start believing, people tend to become what the greatest person in their life believe they can become. People tend to become what the greatest person in their lives believe they can become. They tend to become that. So you need to learn to believe in them. Because you might be surprised that in their life you are the greatest person. And you, the greatest person, have very low belief of them. No, it shouldn't be like that. It should be that you believe the greatest for them. The greatest. You believe they will achieve the greatest. Jesus believed that his disciples would do better than him. He believed in them. He said, you will do what I'm doing. You will do something greater. Number three, affirm your disciples. Affirm them. Affirm. Use your words wisely on them. Don't use your words always to blast them. Use your words to build them up. You are Peter. And on this rock, I build my church. You are no more Simon. You are Cephas. You are a rock. You are powerful. I tell you, you are great. God is going to use you. God is anointing you. God is taking you to higher dimensions. Man, I saw your report and I can sense that the Holy Ghost is working in you right now. Man, not always. Look at this. What type of thing is this? Well, are you sure you are in this church? Are you sure you are? Affirm. Your disciples. Number four, forgive your disciples. Forgiveness kills fear. When somebody has done something wrong, they're already afraid. And if you are also coming now to confirm the fear, it's not good for them. Do you get it? Forgive your disciples often. John 21:15. So when they had finished eating breakfast, Jesus asked Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, yes, Lord. You know I love you. Jesus didn't say, so if you say you are loving me, why did you do all these things that, you think I don't know the things that you were involved in? I mean, even people, even the lady and her aunt, they came to see me and they were telling me that you were saying these things. Peter, you think I'm a joker? You think I'm a joker? I'm going to show you something right now. I'm replacing you today. I was just asking you to give you the last chance, but you are lying again. You say you love me. When you are telling people that don't even know me. No. I say, okay, you are saying you love me. Just feed the sheep, please. Feed the sheep. Feed the lambs. Number five, empower your disciples. Empower them. Empower them with tasks. You see, people are empowered through tasks. It's that you always want to do everything yourself. They have nothing significant to do. Empower them. Luke 10 verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Jesus is the one who is supposed to go there. But he's empowering this guy by sending them there. You guys go. Go and do it. Go and try it. He's empowering them because he's the one who's supposed to go. But he says, you go. So what I was supposed to go and do, I believe that you can go and do it too. So you are empowered. He empowers the person. Number six, train your disciples. A wise man is strong. A man of knowledge increases in strength. Training, Bishop Oedipo says, training turns trash into treasures. If you can train a person, he will go from a trash to a treasure. Train. Spend a lot of time teaching them how to do what you want them to do. Don't blast them. Train them. Show them. They'll get it. Lastly, introduce your disciples to the Holy Spirit. Introduce them to the fear blaster. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. He's the one telling them. Something is coming on you. It will turn you into an amazement. You will go to Jerusalem. You will go to Judea. I mean, there will be no fear anymore. You will go to the ends of the world because of this thing that will come upon you. I tell you, when you introduce your disciples to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost will turn them into fearless human beings. They will be bold like lions. They will confront lions. They will confront giraffes. They will attack elephants. They will start doing amazing things. Take them to the Holy Ghost. Introduce them to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet this morning and let's give the Lord a shout. Oh, Rabba Shandere Metanda Rabba. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody start thanking God right now for the word he has sent this morning. Start thanking him right now for this blessing that has come today. God is visiting you. God is helping us this morning. Koreba Shandere Metanda Ramanda Rabba. Oh, Rebe Jipra Katepele Mandara Menderebe. Thank you, Lord, for showing us this morning how to build courage. How to build courage in our disciples. I believe, Lord, many of them are becoming courageous. Bold as lions. Bold as lions. The righteous are bold as lions. They can go for outreach. They can go for visitations. They can do new things. They can start cells. They can plant churches. They can do mighty things. Your disciples will not be some wicked and some wimps. Your disciples will be bold as lions. Each one of them will have a pack of his own. Oh, I see your disciples. I see your disciples like a mighty army. They are standing strong. They are doing great things. May God bless you with the capacity to raise courageous men, courageous women, men of character, men of courage, men of character, men of courage. You are receiving it now. You are receiving it now. God is helping you. God is lifting you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. I give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Right now, before I close, I want to pray for somebody. You are not yet born again. You want to give your heart to Jesus. Your fear will not go until Jesus enters your heart. So this morning, you are saying, Pastor, I want to be born again. I need God in my heart. I want to pray with you. Raise your heart and at the count of three, raise your right hand. God bless you. You can take your hand and you are already born again. But this morning, you want to recommit yourself to God. Fear has taken hold of you. The fear of your mistake. You don't even want to go back to church because you feel you are too ashamed. And too. Listen, Jesus didn't come for the righteous. Jesus came for sinners. Let him help you. You want to recommit your heart to Jesus? Raise your right hand at the count of three. One, two, three. Raise it up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, pray with me in simple ways. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day, you rose again that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.